costs low here at the camp so that all could attend. Just be aware that they paid me by the linear foot. Just so you know, they got their pastor. So you got a bargain this time. Anyway. Some great takeaways from last night. I had some great conversations with many of you. By the way, if this is your first night here, my name is Matthew York. I am from Eastern Pennsylvania. Do not hold that against me. But it's such a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to bringing you tonight's message. But some of our dear senior saints came up, and they did say, great message, but you talk way too fast. So I do apologize. You do catch a little bit of a New Jersey accent in here. That's where I'm originally from. So I will do my best. Slow it down a bit. Some of you did ask about the woman who gave me the Bible. That's Tabitha. I actually have a picture of it here. Though you can't see it, this was the Bible that my wife gave to me 2 days before my UPS accident that I shared with you. In there, you'll see she put, it's my name too, over here. You're seeing by Tabitha Wirt, not York. And she wrote this huge inscription on the far side. If you want to read it, you're more than welcome to. The highlighted part says, do not be afraid to love. That's what it says. And it says, always yours, Tabitha. So a little missionary, like, dating going on there, Tabitha. Not really. So anyway, you can take that up at her, but I guess she won that deal. Just so you know, when I start preaching, I get into my messages. I'm not usually, and maybe it's your style to be like, and open your Bibles too. That's not usually how I jump right in. I like to get us thinking about other things, and so I want to, this evening, there are some things that are hard to believe when you hear them. I'm going to share you some facts that you may not believe are true. Number one, the U.S. has 1 billion pound cheese surplus. It's all stored in a cheese cave in Missouri. It is absolutely true. True. Okay, let's see what else. Ciabatta bread was invented in 1982. It's advertised and perceived as this traditional rustic Italian bread that peasants must have enjoyed. Nope, it was created in the 80s, like Ninja Turtles, just so you know. There it is, ciabatta. It's not rustic. It's the same age as Whitesnake. All right, moving on. Sorry, that's a Gen Xer thing. If you don't get that, we'll let that go. All right. It was a great album, man. All right. A cumulus cloud weighs the same as 100 elephants. It's absolutely true. Feel free. Google me. Go ahead. Like, I test you. Go ahead. Wait, you don't have cell phone service. This is great. This is great. I love Western PA. All right. On the flip side, there are things that everyone thinks are true, but are not true. Number one, you do not have to wait 30 minutes to swim. All right, so, oh, the kids are gone. You guys knew it. You do not have to wait 30 minutes to swim. They were so worried about, like, stomach cramps and everything. You can jump right in the pool after eating. I don't have this in here, but I'm going to share it with you. And I'm sorry if you guys are going to kick me out, but peeing on a jellyfish sting does absolutely nothing. Just so you know, like, if you guys are going to throw me off stage because I'm talking about this topic, but you need to hear this. You need to hear this. It does not do anything. It's just a myth. Okay. A penny cannot kill you from the Empire State Building. And there's a whole Mythbusters about this. The terminal velocity of a penny only reaches about 60 miles an hour. It will leave a welt, but it will not kill you. So throw all the pennies you want off the top of the Empire State Building. Birds cannot smell humans. You are way too silent for that one. You can freely touch all the birds that you want to touch, by the way. Just so you know, like, you know how the bird is out, you're like, don't touch it! You'll never go back to it! That's not true. The birds cannot smell you. Pick up the bird, put it back in its nest, and leave it alone. I give you the freedom to do so. You guys are going to write very strongly worded letters if that doesn't come out to be true.
It did not go in the nest. Never invite this guy again. Dear John Stumbo.
Fire. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is we do this all the time. We elevate things that are not true, and we minimize things that are true. So there are some things that I told you that are absolute true tonight, that you're like, ah, that's not true. And there are things that I did tell you that you're probably still going to wait 30 minutes. I don't know what some of you are going to do at the beach, but that's between you and the jellyfish. Putting that out there. We do this all the time. We elevate things that are not true, and we minimize that which is true. And we're going to see that in the life of David. And the reality is, the truth is, that we can give more attention to lies than we do truth. See, that's where things get heavy. That's the shift right there. Because the reality, we're going to be talking about lies that we deal with in and out of our lives. We're going to be dealing with this, and David dealt with this as well. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17? That should be a red letter chapter in your Bible. There's a big fight going to happen. Big fight. I have to skip ahead a little bit in the life of David. We're going to be introduced to David very quickly here. The story is that where we were last night, Samuel, the prophet, and Saul were having a conversation. Because of Saul's disobedience, Samuel says, "The kingdom is no longer yours. I'm going to rip it out of your hands, and I'm going to give it to somebody else who I've sought out, who's a man after my own heart." That man after his own heart was a 10-year-old boy 46 miles away in the town of Bethlehem that God sought out. That young boy is then anointed by Samuel, and then that young boy is then brought into the service of the king, playing the lyre every time that Saul has an evil spirit come over him. And at this time, the Israelites are at war with the Philistines, and we're going to pick up this story right where the Philistines are going to go toe-to-toe with the Israelites. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's take a look. "Now the Philistines gathered in their forces and assembled at Succoth in Judea. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites on the other with the valley between them." If you're any VeggieTale fans in here, you're picturing this in your mind right now. No milkshakes though. "A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, and on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and iron point weighed 600 shekels." All you need to know is this dude was big. And what he carried was even greater. Some of the weights of the armor is like 125 pounds. It was not something light. "Now David was the son of an..." Oh, hold on. Let me just get my nose. "An Ephraimite." I got that right. We're going to sell it. Anyway, the name Jesse, name from an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons followed Saul to war. The first was Eliab, the second was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. David was the youngest, the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Many of you know the story. This has been a story that we've heard time and time again. You know, you've told your kids this story. You've watched animated features about this story. This story is well known. All you really need to know is Goliath is huge. Some have him about 9 feet 9 inches, and David is a 10-year-old little kid. His sons are employed in the army. Remember, it was Samuel who said, "Ooh, the firstborn. Man, this guy should be king." Whatever it was about that guy was very strapping and dapper, and he thought that guy had it all. And here's David, not very impressive, but this is what the story is going to be about. "This was the edict. The king will give the great wealth to the man who kills him," meaning Goliath. "He will also give his daughter in marriage," whether she wanted that or not. Sorry, ladies.
and will be exempt his family from taxes in Israel. I can get kind of behind that one. I would probably run out there to try and and maybe you guys are getting big returns, but as pastors, sorry, we're getting hit. He says you're going to be exempt from taxes. So here we are. We have Saul going. We have David going back and forth from Saul. Now, keep in mind, David's going back and forth from. He's got two responsibilities. He's got his sheep, and then he's got Saul. He's employed by the service of Saul to continue to play that lyre every time Saul is kind of panicking. And the reality is that Saul had this crazy evil spirit come over him every single so often. And there was David, who calmed his nerves, and he was employed. And then he had to go back. Talk about bivocational, right? So now he had to go back and take care of the sheep, which was still his responsibility back home. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done of the man who kills the Philistine?" It removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David walks up to the battlefield and he's generally curious. Hey, what is going on here? Can somebody fill me in? What's going to happen? What's going to be done? And then we have this. Now, this is where I want to kind of land here today. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him. And he asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep? Notice that little dig there. In the wilderness. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. You see, David is standing up for God. Hey, what's going to be done against the guy who just defiles the armies of God? And his brother comes in and says, no, I know what you're really here for. I know who you really are. I know that you're conceited, and I know your heart is wicked. Ouch. That's brutal. He's just trying to do the right thing, and then someone just comes in and just slaughters him with his words. No, I know who you really are. You're conceited, and you're wicked. How many of us have been there? Trying to do the right thing, and you are attacked by a boss, a spouse, a friend. Words that are spoken plant themselves in our hearts. Has anybody ever spoken something over you or told you, I know what you're really about, and then you actually start to believe it yourself? It may have been easy. It was David's older brother. Maybe David was easy. It was shaking this kind of stuff off. But all too often, I don't know about you, but for me, I wear this stuff. No, I know who you really are. I'm not very good at taking a lot of criticism, and I wear this stuff, and I just, it doesn't leave me, and it plants itself like a root in my heart. And I start to believe these types of things is true. The reality is that as David's brother spoke these words, he was planting these lies into David. And this is when we begin to doubt what we know to be true with that coincides with what God says about us. You see, just like many of you maybe won't believe me about the birds, I'm going to tell you right now that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, that God loves you. And so many of us are going to have a hard time believing that. You see, the reality is there are lies that we believe all the time to be true, and there is truth that we should believe, but we just plain don't. And it's God's desire tonight that we begin to understand what is true and walk in that truth and mitigate ourselves against things that are just not true. David, I know you. I know how wicked you are. I know how your heart's conceited. I know the real David. Meanwhile, God had spoken highly of David. This is a man after my own heart. That cannot be taken away. No matter what his brother said about him, no matter what Saul says about him, no matter what anybody says about him, what God says is truth.
And the problem is there are so many times that we just don't believe it for ourselves.
And so what do I want us to know? What is it I want you to know? It's this. Lies can only be revealed when we know the truth. Let me stop right there. You guys know some things here. I guarantee you know some things here today. What's 1 + 1? 2. Great. Good. We're good so far. Dan's looking at him. Okay. What's the capital of Pennsylvania? Great job. Where does chocolate milk come from? Brown cows. Wait, that's not true? See, you all know things. If I were to ask you 1 + 1, you know it's 2. Why? Because I just know it. I just know it. Right? Cabo Harrisburg, put it on a test, got it right. I know that's true. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt. I had a great person who spoke into my life one time and said, don't you understand that God loves you so much that there's a picture of you on his nightstand? In fact, that man's sitting right there. Who spoke those words over me? Thank you, Tim. I never thanked you for that. There are some things that we know to be true, and lies can only be defeated with absolute, fundamental, unwavering truth. I know how conceited you are. I know how wicked your heart is. Like, David's like, whoa, 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 bro. That's not true. That's not true at all. But how many of us believe these types of things? By the way, did you ever notice that some of the deepest wounds come from our closest relationships? Whoa, the room got real quiet real quick. How many of us have used our words or have someone else's words that we're close to cut us so harsh to the core? By the way, people call me all types of things when I drive in traffic, and none of those stick. Right? Think about it. Like you, me, and I'm like, that guy doesn't know anything. But yet, someone I respect and love calls me something. I'm like, oh my gosh, is it true? Some of the deepest wounding comes from the closest relationships. But yet David had a heart that God was in love with. And there is, the truth is extended in this room right now because many of you have a heart just the same. And there are some truth that we need to dispel. We need some truth to dispel some lies here today. Abel was able to shrug off because he knew the truth. And we're going to see as he steps up to the battle lines, as we get into David and Goliath, which we tomorrow, sorry, the main events tomorrow, just so you know, this is like a little warm-up fight. So the big stuff's tomorrow. But you need to understand this today. This is so important because I want you to know the truth. Ultimate truth. What is true, right? It's getting harder and harder to find these days. Because you start hearing something and someone's like, well, that's not true. That's your truth. Or, where'd you get that information from? That's a faulty news source. Fake news. Like, whatever it is that you're getting your news from, that one's corrupt. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. It's like, I don't even know what to believe anymore. With the exception of the Word of God. Ultimate truth is only found in the Word of God. What does God say about this? What does God say about me? This is ultimate truth. But so often, we're elevating the truth we're getting from somewhere else over what we know to be true from the Word of God. We're elevating these types of truths. I guarantee there's somebody in this room that feels this way today. You're worthless. You've told yourself it will never get better. That God doesn't care. That you're a failure. By the way, you're a horrible mom. You're a horrible dad. Your kids are never going to love you. They're never going to come back. And most brutal, it would be better if I wasn't here. These are absolute lies. Being in the fire service, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you're a firefighter, you have a higher suicide rate across the board than most other people. And it's my job as part of what we call the critical incident stress management. These guys and gals see some of the most horrific things. When that pager goes off, you never know what you're going to find. And the model of a firefighter is to stuff. That's what we do. We stuff. You see bad things, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you move on to the next thing. That's what you do. Had a bad day? Don't talk about it. Don't share your feelings about it. Move on to the next thing. It's been the motto of the fire department for years. And then what we're finding is the more and more we stuff, the more and more we don't deal with it, the more and more guys are doing things that they and gals are doing things that they shouldn't be doing and getting themselves into trouble. And they start believing lies that are not true. Now let's move this into a Christian perspective. Can I just tell you, by the way, can I just put this out there? If anybody's in this room think that this world would be better without you, can I just share with you that is not the voice of your Savior talking today. Never one. God, what did David, David's going to go and write that he knows all the days of your life. They're destined for you before even one of them came to be. And if you are here thinking about taking your life, I'm sorry to turn this into a serious tone, but you need to hear this. Taking your life does not solve your problems. It really just passes it on to somebody else. Because then your family has to deal with those problems. And if anybody here has ever been a victim or has felt the same pain of a suicide, you knew that to be true. God has a desire and a plan and a future for you. As cliche as Jeremiah 29:11 is, the reality is that there is a plan and a purpose and a future for you. And God has it planned out for you. And so, sorry, I just need to say that here this day. And by the way, there is a whole room of people that want to walk you through that decision. If you're here today and you have a plan or thought about this, it is not the voice of your Savior who's telling you to pursue in that. In fact, there's ultimate truth telling you how valuable you truly are. Anyway, let's continue. David knew two things, who God is and what he says about him. Two things, who my God is and what he says about me. That he's loved, that he's precious, he's beloved, and who his mighty God is. By the way, he's going to go up against Goliath. He's going to be like, you come against me with sword and spear, and I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Like, the battle's already done. This is who David's God is. The Bible, this book that we read, the book that I just showed you, and I didn't bring my, I have everything digital, mine's sitting back there. It's so true, and it says a lot about you. And I just want to share, just real quick, some things. Number one, you can't fix yourself. This is what it says, for grace you've been saved from Ephesians 2, through faith. It's not a work of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works. So no one can boast. Number one, you can't fix yourself. If you're in this room thinking that things are going to get better without God, guess what? You're trying in vain. You cannot fix yourself. That's only a work of God. Number two, only Jesus can transform you or your spouse, by the way. It's truth. You cannot do it. Tab rolled the dice, but God intervened, okay? Maybe you can write in a Bible for them, I don't know, but. Galatians 2:20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But do you know who's writing this? This is like a guy who hunted down Christians, by the way. This is the Apostle Paul. That's a transformed life. You can't fix yourself. Number two, only God can transform you. And lastly, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I am sure about this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. These are ultimate truths in the Bible. You can't fix yourself. Only Jesus can transform you. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. These are ultimate truths. If you came in here believing any of these things that was contrary to these things, you need to mitigate that with truth. The only way lies can be revealed is when we know the truth. If I were to come here and tell you, by the way, you all, By the way, if you do think chocolate milk comes from brown cows, I'm sorry to have to disappoint you today. But many of you would say that's absolutely wrong. And why? Because you know the truth. If I came in here and told you that 1 + 1 = 3, you'd be like, "That I knew it was that NIAC education." And all of you would say, no, why? Because I know the truth. This morning, if you think anything other than what we've already discussed, if you walk out of this room thinking that you're a failure, if you walk out of this room thinking that things can't get any better, if you walk out of this room believing the lies that you've told yourself, you haven't listened and received the true word of God. Only lies can be revealed when you know the truth. A couple things I want us to kind of walk through. As we kind of walk through this, I have 3 points. You're going to see I'm kind of open with an illustration, go into 3 points. Come back to the big idea. This is just kind of how I work. The first thing I want you to know, how do we expose this? God uses past experiences to bring about future truths. Take a look at the word. Verse 36 of 1 Samuel 17 says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Let me pause here for a second. David is having a conversation with Saul. He goes before Saul to say, "Hey, what's going to happen to the guy who goes against this uncouth individual?" I think you can look that one up. We had a good vocabulary class in NIAC. Okay, so he says, "What's going to happen?" He goes to Saul. He says, "Your servant has killed both." This is what. Let me tell you about me. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine may like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." David goes back to what God has already done in his life to look forward to what God is going to do in the future. David was a pretty cool kid, I gotta admit. For a 10-year-old boy, that's amazing. And as I said last night, and I'll say it again, continue to invest into our children. And by the way, our children can teach us so much about faith. Don't ever discredit the younger people and the younger generation. I know we rag on them all the time about buying avocados or whatever, but like younger people, the next generation. By the way, you have to look that one up about the avocado. The younger generation, we can learn so much from them. Let's not discredit them. Am I still on? Am I still there? Am I there? There we go. There we go. Thanks. Anyway, don't discredit what God is doing in the next generation. Look at this. Look what Saul says. "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. He has been a warrior. He has been a warrior from his youth." Notice the king of Israel just told him what he cannot do. Are you picking that up? The king, the most important person in his life. Can you imagine going before the king and the king tells you what you can't do? Maybe like your boss? Maybe like someone you really respect? Let me tell you about you. And David's like, "Whoa, you don't get a chance to tell me about me. God has already proven who he is to me, and who I am is because of what he's already done for me." Take a look. Look what he says here. "The God who rescued me from the lion and the tiger and the bear." Oh my, really? Really? That was a great setup. You know, hold on. Let's go back. The lion and the tiger and the bear. There you go. Thank you. These are the jokes, people. Anyway, moving on. Like, David goes back. He says, "Look what the Lord has already done. It was the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." It doesn't matter what you say, because past truths reveal what my current reality is. Not what you say or what someone else says. It's what God has already done in my life. The reality is when the things go bad, the first thing that we throw out is our theology. I said it last night, and I'll say it again. The first thing to go out the window when our things get bad is our theology and our faith. David goes back to his past and says, "No, God has already proven to me who he is. He will protect me. He will love me. He will guide me. It doesn't matter what you say." What you say really doesn't really matter to me, Saul. For God has already done it. Sorry, Dorothy. So often we forget God's faithfulness and we overshadow it with doubts and past hurts. How many here have ruminated? See, now this is where it gets crazy. Who here has ever ruminated on something has somebody said about you and began to believe it to be true for yourself? Right? Someone spoke something ill of you or hurt you with their words, and you have, it runs like a playlist in your head nonstop, and you can't stop thinking about it. Meanwhile, the Word of God says this, and we believe the truth, the lie over the truth. So what we're saying is, so David could have been like, hey, Saul, you're absolutely right. And God's word's down here. No, I've already equipped you for this. You see what we've done? We've allowed someone else's words to be more powerful than the words of God. We're elevating someone else's truth over the truth of God. We're giving them God's place in our life. Whatever lie they spoke, whatever ill they spoke of you, we're actually saying that that's more powerful than the word of God. And David knew what Saul said was absolutely wrong. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. God will use whatever it is that you are going through for his glory. It's absolutely true. Pastor, listen, I can't imagine. Can you just imagine a lion coming after you? Can you imagine a bear? But many of you being like going nuts. David looks back and says, no, that's where God met me. And these are moments that are going to carry me forward. So number one, God used past experiences to bring about future truths in David's life. If you're here this morning or this evening and you don't, and there's a lie that you're believing about yourself, if there is something that you know is not true, but God has said it in the past, and you've experienced it in the past, that you are loved, that you are cared for, we need to elevate those experiences over the words of someone else who's spoken over us. The only way that you can mitigate lies is with ultimate truth and what God has already done. So God uses past experiences to bring up future truths. Number two, David's brother was not wrong, but he wasn't right at the same time. Let me dive into this. Let's take a look at the words of his brother right here. He says, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. Theologically, he's not wrong. And by the way, we're going to see David does have a little bit of problem in the heart area, because we're going to see by the weekend, this young boy who is so faithful is going to be a man who falls into both adultery and into murder. So technically, his brother wasn't wrong, but he wasn't right at the same time. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to be a comedian when I grew up. And I still have yet to grow up. But, I wanted to be the stand-up comedian. That was it. And my father once told me, he goes, you want to be a stand-up comedian? He goes, well, you better bring a chair. Right? Right, funny, right, great. The problem is I took that to heart. I took that to heart, and I never kind of pursued what that could be. And how many of us have been stifled by someone else's words in our life? My dad was a great guy. He was funny. It was just one of those, you just never know how powerful your words are. You can say the right thing the wrong way, and guess what? You're now wrong. Let me say that again. You can say the right thing the wrong way, and all of a sudden, you are now wrong. How we say things, how we approach things, is very important. You see, there are truth-centered people and there are grace-centered people, right? There's this two ends of this pendulum here, right? If you're truth, I'm all about truth, you will let me tell you the word of God, brother. Let me give you the truth, right? What you're doing is wrong. Let me tell you the truth. That's truth. That's all about truth, right? Those are the people that will respond to a Facebook message with a reply this long telling you all the things you're doing wrong. It doesn't get them anywhere, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, my mother-in-law, right? there are grace-centered people. So the truth-centered people are like, let me tell you the truth. Grace-centered people are like, hey man, it's love, man. It's all grace, man. God just loves you.
So those are good grace-centered people. The great thing about Jesus, he came full of what? Truth and grace, right? Jesus had this great way of being both at the same time. And there are times when we say the right thing, but if we say it the wrong way, we're all of a sudden wrong. Now let me pause there. This even applies to what you say to yourself. Negative self, where are my negative self-talkers? Up here. There's more out there, you're lying. Tell me about, like, there are people here. How many people walk away saying, you're an idiot? Right? I do it all the time. You are a piece of garbage. Right? Last night I walked out from here, man, blew another one. Like, it's just what, like, up here. The biggest battle is up here. And what we say about ourselves is huge. And the reality is, if what you say up here doesn't sound like Jesus, well, guess what? It's not Jesus. How often do we condemn ourselves, and yet Jesus has never once condemned us at all? What does Romans 8:1 says? For there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you are forgiven, you are free. Free. Negative self-talk. Why would God love you? Why would God love me? Just another failure. You see, not only do we have to watch what we say to others, and we can be true. So, by the way, I have a verse here. Peter says, have an answer. Always be ready with the hope in what you have, but do so with gentleness and kindness. By the way, all my truth-centered people, let's just be people who speak a lot like Jesus. And my grace-centered people, let's not forget about the truth. At the same time, if you're here this morning and you suffer from the battle that's up here, what we need to be people, we need to always test what we say about ourselves to what the gospel says about us too. You are not an idiot. Never once has Jesus ever said that about you. You are not a failure. Otherwise, he would not have died for you. You are not worthless. When Jesus hung there on the cross, he saw your value and your gospel potential. And if you want to end your life today, God says, I have so much in store for you. You don't even know the blessings I have for you. This is the truth from the scriptures. David's brother was not wrong, but at the same time, he wasn't right. We need to be people who watch ourselves. Last point. There's only one thing that will get you through your worst day. Look at this. David goes up and he says, the one who rescued me from the bear of the lion and or the paw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. And look what Saul says. Go, may the Lord be with you. Like Saul's just like, good luck. Like he did, right? Like there's just this, like, everybody thinks this is a suicide mission for David. Like, this young boy doesn't even know what he's talking about. But yeah, there's one thing that's going to get David through his worst day here. The same God who showed up for me will show up for me in the future. David's faith was that which he hung his hat on. There was no lying. There was no changing that aspect. There was only one thing that was going to get him through his worst day, and that was his faith in his God. And there's only one thing that's going to get you through your worst day here too. Your faith in God. There's only one thing that's going to restore a broken relationship. There's only one thing that's going to redeem that situation that you're avoiding. There's only one thing that's going to change your mind about whatever lie that you believe. And it's the faithfulness of God. It is the absolute truth. David rested his hat on it. David's walking out to the front line saying, Saul, I'm sorry you don't know the faithfulness of this amazing God. Watch and see what happens. David was going to focus on what was true about God in his life rather than allow him to go further.
in a lie, in anything other than the truth. And this evening, I want us to begin to wrap our minds around that. Listen, I don't know how you deal with things on your worst day. If you're like me, I just panic and throw a hissy fit. I kid you not, there was one day that we were having a hard time with a situation, Tab and I, and this is like my ultimate love. I can't believe I'm sharing this story. So I threw myself on the bed, and I covered myself up with like the blankets and stuff. I'm a grown man. This is only like 2 years ago, right? I throw my blankets on my head, and Tab's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "This is what my body's telling me to do right now, right?" Like, what? She's like, "Get a hold of yourself." She's absolutely right. Oh my god! I can't believe you didn't leave me after that. Oh my god! I dusted myself off and I found that what was true, like God. Well, I think that's when I called you, Tim. By the way, I think that was that whole situation with the house situation. Don't worry, we were in this. If you ever bought a home, everything has to line up. Like when the sellers are selling their house and when the realtor people want to have a closing thing. Well, it got all messed up and. We couldn't give the money to the people who were buying or selling our house, so we couldn't get, so they couldn't buy the house. It was like a domino effect all the way to the end, and so it all came down that the furthest buyer was going to back out, and it trickled down to us, and our place where we were already had renters already lined up. So I'm like, "Tab, do you realize we're going to be homeless?" Oh, she goes, "Oh, we'll camp. Oh, it's going to be awesome." I'm like, "We're going to live in like a caravan, like." I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, Tab's just like, "It's amazing," and I'm there with blankets under my head. It's going to be the worst thing ever. So, all that to say, don't do what I did. What's going to get you through your worst day? By the way, it was not the blankets, and it was not the pillow. It was ultimately God that came through. Guess what? It came through like that. Tim called me on the phone and says, "God has never forgotten you or forsaken you. God will come through." And guess what? He did. There's only one thing that's going to get you through your worst day, and it's your faith in God and nothing else. Nothing else. Doesn't matter how many lies you believe. It doesn't matter all the things that you can add in. There's only one thing that will get you through your worst day, and it's your faith in God. Because your God never fails you. Ever. Think how many times you've gotten out of rough times in the past. There's a whole room of dear senior saints that have stories to tell of God's faithfulness. I just heard one here today in the cafeteria. Share your story. Us younger people, we're freaking out right now. Like, we don't know what we're doing. And our dear senior saints have the story to tell about God's faithfulness. Would you share your story, please? The older people in this room, share how God has moved, because us younger people have no idea how we're going to get through it. We're all believing that we're either A, horrible parents, or B, the world's going to end tomorrow. And the reality is you can share the story of God's faithfulness. Would you share that story? People need to hear it. There's only one thing that's going to get you through your worst day, and that's God's faithfulness. David went forward to the battle lines knowing who God was and what he was going to do. He did not listen to his brother. He did not listen to the enemy. By the way, keep in mind that you have a roar. There is a roaring lion out there seeking to devour you, who wants to lie to you and tell you how worthless you really are. And that is not the voice of your Savior. David went completely out to the battle lines, knowing who he was. So this morning, I'm going to ask, worship team, would you come up, please? This morning, this evening, whatever time it is, it doesn't matter. Somebody could be listening to this in future generations in the morning. The truth is that I guarantee you there's somebody in this room that is struggling with something that is not true today. Somebody has told you or spoken something of you, and today's the day that we're going to leave that here in this room tonight. Maybe that means we're going to start to elevate the truth here today. I need to start listening to Jesus more than I'd listen to fill in the blank. Maybe today's the day where we have thought of the most egregious thing, and we're not going to go through with it. We're not going to go forward, because you know there's a God who has a huge plan for your life, a purpose to see you live out His truth in your life. So, if you need to spend some time here today or have a conversation, this room is filled with some of the most amazing godly pastors. I've met, I don't know how many. Oh my gosh, there's so many. There are pastors here who will meet you at the altar. And if I can give the green light to any pastor in this room, that if you see somebody struggling, would you put your arm around them, or would you come pray with them, whatever that might be? If this is a moment where you need to spend some time with God, and there's a lie that you have listened to, there's a lie that you believe, and you want to leave it here, then let's do the work today. The Holy Spirit wants to free you today. So you don't have to be consumed. Listen, David went towards a battle free. He shook it off. His brother's words didn't mean a thing, because he knew who his God was. And this evening, you can do the same. Stop carrying it around. Stop believing it. Be free. Because that's what Jesus wants in your life. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to use this time as a holy time, a sacred time. The altar's here for you. There are pastors here for you. Come talk to me. Come talk to another pastor. I'm no better than any of these. So please, do not let tonight go by believing anything other than what God's truth is in your life. There we go. Isaiah 43:1 says this. Now this is what the Lord of Jacob says. He created you, Jacob. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God called you by your name. Not failure. Not whatever it is that you say about who you are. See, He calls you by your name. And if that name is anything other than beloved, then you are believing in something that is just not true. Whether that's horrible mom, or husband, or spouse, fill in the blank, whatever lie that you might believe. And the reality, God says, I called you by your name. That is who you are. Before a mighty God, you are beloved. Leave here, this room, believing nothing but the truth that God has spoken over you. And believe nothing other than ultimate truth found in God's Word. You are blessed. I'll see you tomorrow.